Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell. Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season 4. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
The kids on Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them.
There's something out there, isn't there?
Halloweenies, a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Was locked in a room with a girl who went in alive and came out in a rubber bag.
From the Consequence Podcast Network, the minds behind The Losers Club, comes a new podcast in fantasy terror.
Nancy, there's something wrong with you. You're imagining things.
Halloweenies, a Freddy Krueger podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Big hello to all the subscribers. Thank you for checking out the series, as the interviews do get released 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Would love it if you haven't already taken that chance to give the series a rating. That's always a huge help. And leave a review or just say hi in the comments box as well. Of course, if you're at a place where you've grabbed this and you're not subscribing, now's a really good time to hit that subscribe button as well to keep up with us. You can do that anywhere you get your podcast from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Andy Bell of the band Ride. They are back with their second album post-reunion. It's called This Is Not a Safe Place. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. And Andy and I are going to go through the whole process of what this record was like. He says it was written so quickly and even recorded so quickly compared to Weather Diaries from a couple of years ago, compared especially to any of their stuff in the past. So much that he says it doesn't even feel like a proper follow-up record. We'll figure out what exactly that means, but I can attest that it is a perfect record from Ride. We'll talk about fan expectations, especially with a band with so much history, and get the stories behind songs like Repetition, Kill Switch 15 Minutes, the self-titled song that kicks off the record, and a track called Dial Up. Now, this is a song that talks to the bigger picture stuff, technology, the environment. In fact, that even works itself into the album artwork, as does Basquiat, the famous 80s New York artist, who is an important inspiration to this album, Andy tells us. In fact, he takes us back to the 80s, to their art school days, which lends itself in heavy doses to the record as not only influencing what they're singing about, but the actual sound of the record, as they kind of went for a Steve Albini type of drum sound, and lots more down that hole as well. And we'll also get the update. He says, yeah, there's going to be more albums. And that's probably the best news of this whole interview. Let's jump into it, talking about the record This Is Not a Safe Place. It's Kyle Meredith with Ride.
Hi, Kyle.
I got to tell you right off the bat how much I love the new record. This is not a safe place. I can say the same for Weather Diaries. Having you all back was such a big thing. And the fact that you're still making music this good, some of the best music in your career. I'm not trying to overpaint that. I really mean that. It's such a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. It's obviously music to my ears to hear that. We're all blown away by the reactions we've been getting to the new album, especially. We've been putting quite a lot of new songs in the set list, and people have seem to be really encouraging us to play them, you know, rather than going to the bar for the new stuff, people are staying, you know?
I've said this before in other interviews, too. When you get attached to a band from your past and you hear that they're coming back, it's like that double thing. Like, you're excited, and you're also a bit nervous. Like, am I going to have that connection to the music in the same way? Will they be as good? And it's such a relief when it happens.
Yeah, and I totally get that as well. I mean, as a fan, I totally understand that feeling.
Does it feel like a sophomore record this time, or does this feel like album number whatever it is?
I think long term it's number 6, and then obviously number 2 of the reunion years. Sure. But yeah, it feels kind of like both. It oddly feels like I do sometimes accidentally refer to it as a second album, you know?
Well, especially with so much time in between. I mean, it might be the same people, but obviously in different parts of your life. And I hear some bands talk about that, like, oh, we got back in the room and it was like nothing ever changed and everything. I don't know if you have similar feelings or if it's different than that.
It's kind of like that. We obviously, so much has changed for us all individually, personally and everything. In 20 years, we've all been through so much stuff. But getting together to rehearse for the reunion tour initially, when we just had old songs to play, it was kind of an instant thing where as soon as you started playing the old songs, you know, it just clicked back together again.
With the reunion album out of the way, with Weather Diaries, you know, so it's done its thing, did that open up this new record, This Is Not a Safe Place, to be something else? I mean, I don't know if you ever felt like you had to cater to your past on that last record, and maybe this didn't need to. Was that ever the case?
I think we were not trying to cater to people, but I think we were just, Weather Diaries was a product of all the songs that were written for it. And they were written over quite a long period. And we wrote a big variety of songs, and we wrote many more songs than we used. And then we kind of, after working separately on these things, we got together and decided what songs would be the album. And that process was quite long, drawn out after the initial reunion tour. This time around, it was a much shorter list of songs. They were written a lot quicker, and it felt as though it was back to being in the swing of being a band, where it wasn't like a big deal. The songs got written naturally, and then we recorded them, and that was the album. And it wasn't so much like a deliberate, like, let's make an album sort of thing.
Well, I'll tell you, and kind of going into what you're saying there, like, there is the song on the record, Repetition, which is not only one of my favorite ride songs now, but probably one of my favorite songs of 2019.
Wow.
But with that line, you know, about repetition and change, I had wondered if that was sort of speaking to the fan expectations.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the whole idea of that lyric is kind of playing a little bit with all those ideas, and not all of them really do apply fully to Ride or Ride fans or whatever. I don't think our fans are close-minded, because the line is about people just wanting to repeat and stay the same, which I've seen in some write-ups being said as, oh, you know, we're kind of accusing people of wanting us to be like we were in the beginning, which I don't really feel about our fans. I think our fans are quite open to us being who we are now. But that was kind of a quotation, or at least a sort of paraphrasing of a Jean-Michel Basquiat interview, which, when he was talking about his art school days, and that for him, that's him saying people wanted him to repeat and stay the same, even though he wanted to move on to move forward.
Is there any story to starting the album off with basically your band name, although it looks like it's acronymed?
Yeah, the story is, I mean, that song was, weirdly, the song we worked the hardest on for the whole record. Huh. We did an initial version that was like this, the way it is now, and then we thought, well, this is going to make an amazing track. We'll just develop it, write loads of words for it, put more sections in. It'll be some kind of epic, like Leave More Behind or something, like a long, big, heavy track. And we took that idea around the houses, and somewhere along the way it gained that title because we had acronymed lyrics at one point, was one of the ideas we were playing with, and that didn't work. So at the end of the whole story, we ended up with pretty much what we started with.
You mentioned heaviness there. You know, two of the big heavy moments on here that you provide with Killswitch in 15 minutes. Was that heaviness coming from any particular spot?
We were, I guess, right. I mean, the song's got written and that dictated what the album was like. So when we were rehearsing those tracks, we did feel like, yeah, let's really go for it on those moments. I think it's good to pick certain moments on an album to really slay, and then other times really hold back, so you have like a bit of headroom in the album. You're not just doing one thing all the time, volume-wise. So light and shade, that kind of thing, you know?
Right. Well, it's a nice, especially juxtaposition against something like Future Love, which was a surprise when we first heard that. Like, this is different. This is not what we expect from Ride right here, which was kind of the nice first breath of fresh air, I guess.
Cool.
And I want to hit up another song, too, and I think I'm hitting for bigger themes here with a song like Dial Up.
Yeah.
And you know, and that refrain of Are We Living. It's interesting that 2 years ago, a lot of the songs seemed to be pointed at world leaders because of what was happening, obviously. But yeah. Now I'm hearing this more and more with songs like Dial Up and others, where it seems now we're starting to point towards our own shortfalls with technology, with environment. Am I coming at it in the right angle?
You are, because I think without having it as a deliberate direction, Weather Diaries was very much an album that looked out into the world. And yeah, we did take a lot of pot shots at leaders like Theresa May, Boris Johnson, who now is the Prime Minister, and just the whole Brexit thing and just looking at the world going, what's going on? That was Weather Diaries. And writing for this record, I certainly felt like I wanted to go inward and write about very personal things and some of the things that have been happening in our own little world that no one else would know about. The funny thing about that is that we ended up with people thinking that we were still writing about world affairs. A lot of it applies to the big picture as well. But yeah, Dial Up certainly is about that anxiety and sort of like dealing with your own, in a way, dealing personally with the fallout of when things are really bad globally, I guess.
Well, I don't know if that also speaks to the album cover, because you know you've got that cover of the ocean for one thing, or a body of water, I should say, and the title. I didn't know about the three slashes. Someone pointed out, I guess, online that the three slashes stood for a place not being safe.
Yeah, that's it's certainly in the hobo code, which is the homeless guys in New York. Developed a code like graffiti, which was they'd leave marks on the walls to show each other if a place was safe or not, or you know, where to get a free meal or whatever, like that kind of thing. And this code was allegedly used by Basquiat when he was a graffiti artist to he used to sign his name Samo, S-A-M-O, and then follow up with three slashes. And he also used to just write phrases on the walls of New York and finish with three slashes. So that was one theory about where that came from.
So Basquiat ends up playing a bigger role on this record than I think I was even aware of.
Well, I think it was just a case of me visiting that exhibition and really being taken with it and taken with him as a person and his world, because the exhibition we saw was really placed him in New York and in time in the 80s. And so it wasn't just about art, it wasn't just about his paintings, it was about the streets he was walking on and the bands that he was going to go and see, and his mates were in bands, he was in a band, him existing in 80s New York. And because a lot of the songs on the album were written about our own art school era in the late 80s, it felt like a really convenient and sort of helpful vocabulary to draw on for lyrics and just whole, and also for the musical landscape of the record, because it is musically kind of set in the 80s, if you like. I mean, we went back to all the stuff we were listening to at the beginning, the post-punk music, like Susan the Banshees, The Fall, Public Image Limited. That really informs the production on the record, because it was kind of trying to paint the same kind of picture, but for us.
Yeah, I think I've read you also saying that even down to the Steve Albini drum sound, you guys were looking at the Pixies and...
Yeah.
It's yeah. Sonic Youth and what, In Utero, I guess?
Exactly. The Steve Albini record that he did with the Pixies and Sonic Youth, Nirvana. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're saying all the things that I love, so I was on board anyway.
those drum sounds were so monumentally huge, and we took time on This Is Not a Safe Place to get those drum sounds just right. We didn't use Steve Albini, but we used Errol Alkin, and he kind of knew what to do to get that sound. or A Sound just reminded us of that.
So you've not exactly made a light record by any means, but I did find it interesting that there's a quote of you recently saying, I feel like there's still a weightier follow-up to this record. And I was kind of curious what you meant by that.
Yeah, what I meant by that was that this album was done so quick, so it almost feels like an album you make on the way to making an album, you know? So it's like we didn't really have time to think about changing production, studio, team, you know, like we just had a bunch of songs really fast. Almost before the Weather Diaries tour was finished, we had these songs and were kind of like actively working on them. So it was like, well, the next step is to record it. Let's record it. Got it right first time. Next step is to mix it. Oh, it's mixed. You know, suddenly you're putting it out. And because it was all so easy and kind of natural, there was none of this thing of we're following up Weather Diaries, you know, that feeling was absent. So it felt almost to me as if at some point we're going to do the real follow-up, you know?
Well, the good news is that you're already thinking about another record. That's the best news right there.
Yeah, we certainly are. Yeah.
With, you know, obviously you've put the past behind you, and this is the new version. What is your and Mark's creative relationship like these days, maybe compared to the past?
I'd say it's very strong between the whole four of us, you know, me and Mark and everyone else in the band is, you know, Steve and Loz. We're all putting in great ideas. We're all pitching in and playing our role and playing to our strength, and we're able to communicate more than we used to. So, you know, it's a good sign.
It sounds like it's a good sign. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously made for the great music here, too. And with that, I will say, Andy, thanks again. This Is Not a Safe Place is just a spectacular record, and I'm so excited to hear where you guys go from here, because it's, I'm on board.
Great. Well, thank you so much. That is brilliant to hear.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking the time again, and take care, man.
You too, mate. Bye. Bye.
And my thanks to Andy Bell. The new album from Ride is called This Is Not a Safe Place, and it's now available. Before you get out of here, if you're a subscriber, thanks again. Please do leave a review of the series. Give us a rating. That is a huge help to a series like this. And if you're not, hit that subscribe button right now. We release interviews Monday, Wednesday, and Friday anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. That does include YouTube or Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Podchaser, Acast. Just type in Kyle Meredith with and hit that subscribe button. After that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour of new song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and interview clips as well. That's WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.com has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith and Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for this edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.